We thank you in Jesus' name as we lay aside now all those announcements. And Lord, we just want to remember one thing, that you're with us tonight. And that we can take our hurt, we can take our problems, our fear, whatever we are experiencing, our need, to you tonight. Oh Lord, and we can come so boldly. Thank you for allowing us to do that. With that incredible confidence by the blood of Jesus Christ to the very throne room, that place where grace and mercy and help may be obtained, where it may be found in time of need. Lord, touch people tonight. Help me to teach your word truthfully and accurately. And all those that we love, Lord, that are in the hospital for Jessica tonight, being with her, continuing to heal her body, and for Kevin and Roy, Sherwin, all the people that we're praying for. Oh Lord, we just lift them up to you. And I ask you to be now with us in such a special way. We love you, O Lord, and we praise you in this chapel tonight. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn tonight, please, to Exodus chapter 29. The least taught chapter, I believe, in the entire book of Exodus, if it's even taught at all. And tonight we're going to talk about the ordination ceremony, if you will, of the priest. And we need to remember that we're on top of Mount Sinai with Moses. He's going to be there for 40 days and 40 nights. He's neither going to eat nor drink. And he has been receiving, as our study has shown, the divine outline or the divine model, the pattern, the heavenly pattern of the earthly tabernacle. So we've already explored the tabernacle. We've explored all the furniture of the tabernacle. Last week we looked at all the holy garments that God told Moses, that gave him all those minute instructions on how they were to be made. And then tonight we're going to look at how God is going to set apart his priest for service and ministry unto him. And when we look at verses 1 through 9 tonight on the ordination or the consecration of the priest, he gives us the instructions for this ceremony, or God does. Now listen, the actual ceremony doesn't take place until way over in old Leviticus, I think it's probably chapter 8, okay? And so God is giving Moses all this information. And what I want you to see tonight in this chapter, we have 46 verses. The first thing I want to say is this. Chapter 29 is not boring. I heard a minister one time say something about the book of Exodus, and I mean no disrespect toward him, because you know what? The Bible, if we're not careful, can be boring in some aspects, can it? And let's don't be religious, let's be honest. But there's nothing boring about the Bible, really. Matter of fact, we're the ones that are boring. God is never boring, amen? I mean, when the Spirit brings life, the Word of God brings life, it brings joy. And when I look at this chapter, I'm going to be honest with you. I love it. Not only do I love this chapter, but see, before us is God's plan, God's way, completely unknown to man, totally unknown anywhere on the planet, anywhere in the world at that given time. God is giving a brand new revelation to Moses there on top of Mount Sinai. Everyone else is down below. And I look at this and I say, Lord, this is deeper than I know how to teach tonight. Matter of fact, it's mystical. It's so deep, and I look at it, it's mysterious, it's complicated, and you know, God is going to take Aaron and his sons, he's going to set them aside for ministry, the ones that he brought out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I want you to notice something tonight as we begin in verse 1, the incredible ingredients needed to hallow his priest. Now, watch this. And this is what you shall do. This is the Lord now speaking to Moses. And this is what you shall do to them to hallow, or literally set aside or rendered sacred, them for ministering to me as priest. Now here it comes, watch this. Take one bull, two rams without blemish, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes, now watch, mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil. Look what God says now. You shall make them with wheat flour, and you shall put them in one basket. Bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. Step one. I want you to listen to me now. Did you notice anything said about what seminary did you graduate from? We're talking about God's priest tonight. Are you listening to me? Not one word about which seminary, not even an interview. Why do you think God's called you to the ministry? None of that is in there at all. Not one word about their qualifications. Listen, do you not read that and go, hello? What if I said, listen, I have a word from God tonight. Let me give you the word, and here it is. Here's what you're going to need. God says you're going to need a young bull, two rams without blemish, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes, but you have to mix them with oil. Unleavened wafers, they have to be anointed with oil. And make sure you use wheat flour. Now, you know, if I gave you that word tonight, you'd think, Bill, you're insane. And a lot of people that read the Bible, even believers, read that and they go, that's just a little bit too mixed up for me. And what in the world does all that mean? Well, what really bothers me is God said, take it and put it all in one basket. You understand? And I look at that. And then he says, and Aaron and his sons, you'll bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Now remember, Moses is on top of Mount Sinai. Aaron, his sons, they're all down below. And God has big plans for them. And you know what? They don't even know it. God has incredible plans for them, Aaron and his sons. They have not a clue. They don't even know that they are inside of God's plans. And not only that, you know what? They're not the ones that chose the priesthood. God chose it for them. That's called the grace of God. Listen to me. God has a great plan for you. And you know, we go through times when we may feel defeated or beat down or whatever, where God, we think God doesn't love us, and that's a lie. God always loves us. But I look at that and I know in my heart and that God has a plan for each and every one of you. God had a plan for them, and he has a plan for you. Here's our problem, is so often the plan of God that's in our life, we never find it out because we're not pursuing the Lord. Does that make sense? We're not going after the Lord. We're not following after him. And boy, I'll tell you, when you get on a God's plan, something is always going to happen. Listen, I don't want to look for any substitutes in my life. Substitutes have always gotten me in trouble. How about you? You know, I took about 30,000 things tonight for my allergies. I've been sprayed. I've sniffed stuff. I don't know what it was. I've taken pills that promised to do something for me. And I'm just going to trust the Lord that he'll get me through this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, it says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we should walk in them. Prepared beforehand. See, God has a plan. You remember what God told the children of Israel there in exile in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the plans or the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you'd say, well, now, Bill, that verse in Jeremiah 29:11 was given to Judah. And only to Judah. Of course it was. And I agree with you 100%. But do you think that God, our Father in heaven, thinks any less of us than he did the children of Israel? We're co-heirs with Christ. We're sons and daughters of the living God. Amen? We're priests unto the Lord. Listen, and not only that, I don't know if you know it or not, I know that when that scripture was given, Judah was in exile. They were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Listen, we're in exile. Do you think this place is our home? No, this is not our home. I'm in exile on a planet that's doomed to destruction. Man, I'm passing through. This is not my home at all. Oh, no. But I'll tell you what that verse in Jeremiah 29:11 teaches me. It teaches me that sometimes things can be bad. Not always bad. I mean, I like to have good things, okay? But sometimes, let's face it, things can be bad. But here's what I've always found out. In the midst of a bad day is God has something better for me tomorrow. See, God has a plan for me. And you know what? With God, there's always a tomorrow. There's always a future. Amen? Now, look at verse 4 again. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. So remember the tabernacle of meeting. That door was actually that beautiful screen with the purple and the scarlet and all the different colors that were weaved through them. And he says, when you wash them, you don't wash them with just anything or in any place. It has to be right where I told you, and it has to be with water. You know, the Lord is so specific. And where was that water found in the outer court? You remember? It was in the bronze laver. And they would go and the water would be in there. And that's where they would, there in the outer court, that's where they would be cleansed at. Now, next Wednesday night, the Lord willing, when we get over to Exodus chapter 30, We're going to find out about that bronze laver because, you know, it's very serious. What did Moses, what's he going to really wash on them? Not their entire bodies. He's going to wash their hands. He's going to wash their feet. And if they don't do that, God says, you'll die. It's very serious to do things God's way. Amen? And that's very serious tonight for all of us. And so we look at that, and I'm so thankful that it says in the book of Revelation that God, Jesus, who's loved us and washed us and cleansed us from all of our sins tonight, constantly cleansing us by the blood of Jesus. And then let's look at the next step. He says, and then you shall take the garments. Now, we covered all that last week, remember, all the garments of the high priest and the priest. He said, you'll take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, robe, the ephod, the breastplate, gird them with intricately woven band of ephod, and you shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. So each piece we learned last week represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what really, and the truth is, our great high priest, we need to put him on, don't we? In other words, if we're going to be a priest on the God, it says that they could not clothe themselves, and you can't clothe yourselves. I can't clothe myself. My righteousness is as filthy rags before God. But thank God when we come to Jesus, and he cleanses us. For him who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Put on that robe of righteousness tonight. And it says, and you shall take the anointing oil. And look what they're going to do with it. Remember, this is the pattern. These are instructions. This hasn't happened yet. And you'll pour it on his head and anoint him. Speaking of Aaron. And then you shall bring his sons, Aaron's sons, put tunics on them. You shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. In other words, that family, the Aaronic priesthood, was to be forever, okay? In other words, you could only be in that line to be a priest there. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. Did you notice that Aaron was the one that was going to get the oil? His sons didn't get any of that at all. If it is, it's not mentioned at all. So whenever that oil would, you know, they would pour the oil on. Matter of fact, just look at chapter 30. Just, you're right there next to it. Look at verse, let me turn with you to verse 33 about the anointing oil. Look at verse 32. It says, it shall be poured on man's, it shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor you shall make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off, or literally put to death from the people. Well, that's a serious thing, isn't it? You know, I've got two little bottles of anointing oil right here. I'm almost terrified to open them. You know, it said made just like the one in Jerusalem. You got to be careful. You know what I'm saying? Listen, you look at this tonight and how serious that was, and could only be poured on the high priest. What does oil represent? The Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Bible tells us that we're an anointed people. You know, I hear all the time about that, you know, people, they say, well, you need a new anointing. I don't need a new anointing. I have everything that I'm ever going to get. I need to walk in the anointing God has already given me. You follow me? The Bible says this. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:21. It says, now, he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. There's actually a play on the words in the Greek, and I can't pronounce those Greek words, but it actually could read the anointed one and the anointed ones, plural, which means us. You are anointed by God just like Aaron. Actually, it's better than Aaron because we really do have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God came upon them. He's not only come upon us, he lives inside our hearts. So we look at that, no wonder we have a better covenant based on better promises. Thank God for that. So your anointedness is a universal possession of every believer. And that means you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 John 2:20 says you have an anointing from the Holy One. Oh, how we need to go out and do what Jesus told us to do. You know, it tells us about that anointing all the way over. In the book of Luke, it says this, Jesus said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you tonight. for he's anointed you. And it says to Jesus, it says, and to preach the gospel to the poor. That's what we do. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How about you? That's what he sent you to do, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Those who are, the word oppressed there means crushed, beaten down. That's our job. Amen. Because we are priests unto the Lord. Now look at verse 10 with me. Look at the sacrifices for the priest. It says, you shall also have the bull. Now that's the bull that we were talking about in verse 1, okay? Now you'll have him and you'll bring him or brought before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Meaning right there in the outer court at the bronze altar, okay? Every word of God is so important. You know, we read this tonight, and I know it's the old covenant, and I know we're studying the book of Exodus, and you know, it's hard for a lot of us to understand in a way. But I look at this, and it is so beautiful because, see, God is talking about what it's going to take to be a priest. Are you listening to me? It is so, God is so intricate in his details. Everything that he says is so vital and so important. And so the bull, you couldn't kill the bull at all. The bull had to stay alive until man did something, until Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon his head. Transferring, in other words, the bull, the innocent bull, was a substitute. Amen? In other words, the guilt and the sin and all the rest of it, this animal, this innocent animal took their place. It was a substitute that suffered for someone else. That's what Jesus did for us. Amen. You know, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. How did he do that? Did he speak it? Just say, our sins be forgiven? No, he had to suffer. He had to die. He went to the bronze altar, which is the cross, and died for you and died for me. And look what they're to do now. It says, you shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. And pour all the blood inside the base of the altar. And you, isn't that unbelievable in a way? You ever read this and go, man, is this science fiction or something? Really? You know, I look and I go, whoa. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails. Listen, you know why I know God is real? Because man would have never written anything like this. You understand? I look and I say, Lord, and you're going to take what? Take all the fat, Bill, all of it. That covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver. Is that a mistranslation or something? It should be the fatty lobe of the giver, not the liver. I don't know. And the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. You ever just say, Lord, why? Why all these instructions? Why are they so important? Why did it have to be exactly like you said? Well, when we get over in the book of Leviticus, we're going to find out those, the fatty areas that I just mentioned, that God just mentioned, were actually considered to be the best portions at all. And they were to be given to God. So in verse 14, it says, but the flesh of the bull with its skin and offal, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a what? Sin offering. Who suffered outside the gate, it says in Hebrews 13? Who was taken outside of the camp and died for us on the cross, on the Calvary's hill? It was our Lord and Savior. See, this is still, everything here is a picture of Jesus. It says it's a sin offering. Now, it's going to be that sin offering is now going to be followed by the burnt offering. It says you also take one ram. Again, remember there were two rams in verse 1. So this is the ram from verse 1. You'll take also one ram. Aaron and his sons shall put his hands upon the head of the ram. That's that substitute again, remember. You shall kill the ram, and you'll take its blood, sprinkle it all around the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails, its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head. Does that blow you away? You know, I read that and I say, this is what I read when I do marriage counseling. Is this right here? You know, I look at that and I say, Lord, the amazing detail. Let me ask you a question. Does God mean what he says? Yes, he does. I'm going to tell you something. What we don't feel and what we don't sense is the Shekinah glory of God that Moses saw. He heard the voice of God. He's trembling before a holy God. Are you listening to me? He's alone on the mount. He's up there alone. It's not going to be very, very much longer. By the time we get to Exodus 32, all the people below, they just want to party. They want to get drunk, and they're going to do all sorts of things. They're going to start worshiping the golden calf and so forth, but not Moses. Moses is receiving holy words from a holy God. And he's saying, this is the way I want my priesthood. And the only way that you're ever going to be able to approach me, my people, God says at that time, is that you're going to have to do all these things. That blood is going to have to be everywhere, all over the base, all over the floor, all over the altar, all over the horns of the altar. And whenever you get there, you cut that animal up and you put that animal in on that altar and you do it in the detail that I've given you, and you make sure you put the head there as well. God is very serious with what he's saying. One mistake, and it would be death. Are you listening to me? Aren't you glad you live under grace tonight? Oh, thank God for that. Now listen, so you'll take that ram, and then which is going to be that burnt offering, remember, and you're going to what? Put it right in all these pieces, and you're going to put it on the altar. In verse 18 it says, and here's what you do with it. You shall burn the whole ram. Where? On the altar, that the bronze altar, the brazen altar. Why? It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now listen, the high priest Aaron, he represented, remember, he's going to have on the ephod, and on the ephod, what are the 12 stones, which are engraved on the stones are the names of Israel. Whenever Aaron comes before the Lord now, he is representing the entire 12 tribes or the entire nation of Israel. Aaron has to be clean. Are you listening to me? He has to be clean because his sin, he's the high priest. His sin will bring guilt on his people, the people of Israel. Therefore, his sin has to be atoned for before he could ever, ever even come and approach God. And it was done through the whole ram there on the altar as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Now, and that sin offering as well. The sin offering, of course, is a picture of unintentional sin. That's in Leviticus chapter 4. And when we get there, we're going to cover it in detail. But this burnt offering speaks of total dedication to the Lord. In other words, we're to be totally dedicated to God as well. Amen. God wants all of us. He doesn't want part of us. He wants us. God says, listen, Jesus said, here, you want to know the greatest commandment? Here it is. He said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Amen. That's it. Boy, that takes everything. That's all of us. All of our heart, not some of our heart, all of it, not part of our mind. Only letting God shape our mind and the words in our mind. In other words, controlling our thought life. Say, Lord, I'm going to act like you. Like I told Sunday, we're going to act and think just like you, Lord. We're going to live for you. We're a priest unto God. We've been set apart. Everyone in this room that's born again, you've been set apart for God. You're holy unto the Lord. Now, that total dedication of the Lord, the burnt offering is, I'm not going to go into detail about it because we've already talked about it, but we know the burnt offering represents Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was a total sacrifice for our sin. He gave himself totally unto the Lord to die for our sins. Now we're to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord as well. And look at the next one there in verse 19 now. It says, you shall also take the other ram. Remember, there were two rams, so you're going to take the other ram. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram. Take some of his blood. Now watch this. And put it on the tip of the left ear. You know, I tease like that when I teach, you know, but I wouldn't do that if I was receiving instruction from God, you know, on the mount, would you? You know, you're sure, Lord, not the left ear too, or just the right, you know? No. He says on the very tip of the right ear of Aaron, and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, and the thumb of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. So from the very top of the person to the very bottom of the person is to totally belong to God. Amen? Think about that for a minute. In other words, God wants when we present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, he means he wants all of us. every bit of us, all of our faculties. And he says here, he says, you know what? The tip of that right ear, you put the blood there. Why? God says, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear what I have to say. And then he says, I want you to apply that blood to the thumb of your right hand. Why? So you can do the work of God. And then he says, I want you to apply the blood to the big toe on the right foot, meaning that you walk before the Lord the way he wants you to walk. You know, God's word is powerful. And you look at that and say, Lord, you're all the things that you're doing here, it's unbelievable. God knows before, now listen to me, before Aaron and his sons do anything, they haven't put on the garments yet. They're down below. Listen to me now. What is Aaron going to be doing? I just told you a minute ago, here he is. This is what the high priest is going to be doing. What's Aaron going to do? He's going to go start he said, give me your earrings. Go ahead, you know, and you need someone to get us out of here. We don't know where Moses is and Aaron here. And he gathers up all the earrings of gold and all the stuff. And he makes a golden calf to lead him out of the wilderness. But God has already got all these big plans for Aaron, and look what Aaron's about to do. Are you following me? Listen, we cannot look at the things of this world. We need to keep our minds and our hearts steadfast upon our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God has a plan for you tonight. He has a plan for you tomorrow. He has a plan when we wake up. He has a plan for you. You do not know what tomorrow is going to bring. You do not know who's going to come across your path. But you're a priest unto God. And the blood of Jesus has been applied to your entire life. You're totally cleansed by the blood. You're set apart by the blood. You have access by the blood. You have forgiveness of sin by the blood. Amen? The blood of Jesus, that is. So it says you'll take that in verse 21. You'll take some of the blood that is on the altar. And watch this now. And some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons, on the garments of his sons with him, and his garments shall be, what, hallowed, in other words, set apart as holy, and his son's son's garment with him. So remember when we studied the garments, remember that the garments were made for what? For glory and for beauty. But they weren't beautiful yet. They weren't set aside yet. The blood even had to be applied to the garments as well. And it says, and also you shall take the fat of the ram and the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails and the fatty lobe attached to the liver and the two kidneys and the fat on them. Again, the best portions. Now watch this. And the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. It is a ram of consecration, which literally means the filling of one's hands, okay? Or to fill up the hands. Now it says you'll also do something else. Watch this. One loaf of bread, one cake made with oil. You know, church, listen to me. You know, when I read this, I almost want to weep. And you say, Bill, you want to weep over Exodus? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that God is so specific in what he wants. You know, we feel that we can just come to God anyway, that we can just worship God any way we want to. Do you know that's not true? Now listen to me. You cannot and I cannot ever, 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 old covenant, new covenant, you cannot separate the word of God from the worship of God. You can't do it. God wants to be worshiped a certain way. He wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Spirit is internal. Truth is from the word of God. He tells us how to do it. Boy, it is so important. Never separate those two. You can't do it. You never can do that. And I look at this and God says, listen, my priest have to do something exactly the way I say. I want you to go in there. You're going to sprinkle the garments. You're going to put the anointing oil, the blood on them. And not only that, you're going to look at that. The fat of the ram, the fat tail, the fat, all this stuff. Even the right thigh. For it is a ram of consecration. Again, filling up the hands. And watch that. Here it is, that one loaf of bread. One cake made with oil. It can't be made with something else. It says it has to be made with oil. And one wafer. And from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And look what he says. And you shall put all in the what? In the hands, remember the ram of consecration, the filling of the hands into Aaron's and his son's hands? He said, you'll put it all in these hands and in the hands of his sons, and look what you're to do with them. You shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You know, I look at that and I go, what? Lord, what do you mean? You're going to take all, listen to all that stuff, all the stuff that's in, it says, put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons. Look at all that stuff. You got the fat of the ram, you got the fat tail, you got all this stuff. You have the lobe, the fatty lobe to the liver. Here it is. You've got the blood all over you. You got all this stuff in your hands. Are you following me? Everything, that all of it that's found in verse 22 and 23. And then it says that they're to use it as a wave offering before the Lord. How in the world is it possible for Gentiles like us, saved Gentiles, thank God, to understand the depth and the meaning of this? I mean, in their hands, the pieces of animal flesh, and wave them, it says, that meaning the offering is then given to God. And then what are they to do? Look at verse 25. After they do the wave offering, it says, then you shall what? Receive them back. All that stuff, receive it back from their hands, the ram of consecration, from their hands, and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering. Again, that total sacrifice to God. As a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire before the Lord. Then you shall take, watch this now, the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be your portion. And from the ram of consecration, remember it means the filling of the hands, the ram of consecration, you shall consecrate, here it is, the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised. It means to hold something up, to be held up. So, which is raised of that which is for Aaron and that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons a statute forever. Now watch this. For it is a heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings. That is their heave offering to the Lord. Everybody get that? You have that down. You're going to put that in your refrigerator tonight? Well, you should. And let me tell you why. Let me ask you a question. Why the breast and why the thigh? Whenever you study the Bible, loved one, listen. You know the best way to study the Bible is to have a yellow legal pad and a pencil. And so when you come to something in the Bible, you ask questions. Amen? Well, Lord, that's the way I study. That's how I put together sermon. I said, and the first question I had when I was doing it, I said, okay, Lord, why the breast? Why the thigh? What's the deal here? I mean, why couldn't it have been the wing bone? Or you understand? I'm not that I'm silly before the Lord, but I'm going, I want to know why this is here. Well, when we get over in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 31 through 34, it tells us this, that God specifically gave the breast of the ram of consecration to Aaron. He gets that. Now, the thigh is going to go to the other priest, which would be Aaron's son, okay? But the breast and the thigh mean much more than that. See, it means, what's behind my breast? My heart. What does the thigh represent? Strength. In other words, we're to serve God with all of our heart. We're to serve God with all of our strength. And to eat the breast and to eat the thigh, what does it mean? It means that God has accepted this sacrifice. It's holy. You can partake of it. It's been blessed. Now, I want you to notice something very carefully. Did you notice that it said all these different offerings? It said the wave offering. Then it said the heave offering. And then it said at the very end that the wave offering and the heave offering are actually the peace offering. Are you confused yet? Okay, are you seeing what I'm saying? Don't be bored. Now listen to me. This is so important. See, I believe that in every chapter of the Bible, you can find Jesus Christ. You know, that's what it's all about. The Old Testament especially is about the Messiah. It's about the coming one. It's about our Lord. And if you study out, if you understand, it says there what? In verse 27, it says, the breast of the wave offering, which is what? Waved. Well, how do you wave that? You know, you're, in other words, you take the breast and you're standing right there before the altar. And the Jewish writers in Judaism, they tell us that they would take the offering and they would wave it. How? Before the altar from left to right. In other words, horizontally. This is the wave offering. Now, the heave offering, it says, which is not waved, but this one, the heave offering, it says, is raised. So this offering before the altar would be raised up and raised down. Now, listen to me. Let me ask you a question. If you go this way and this way and this way and this way, what does it form? The cross. Listen to me. The heave offering, the wave offering, is the peace offering. Who is our peace offering? Jesus. Everything, when you start really, see, you know what? It's almost impossible to get a grasp on Hebrews unless you understand Exodus and Leviticus. Yeah, I mean, you've got to understand all these off because it's written to the Hebrews. Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, this is so good. This is a picture of the cross. The peace offering is a picture of our Lord upon the cross. What does it say in Romans 5:1? It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have, that's present tense, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, is there anything better than have peace with God? And you know, the peace of God, now listen, in Romans 5:1 is just like our justification. Remember that justification, meaning just as if we had never sinned. It means that whenever a sinner comes to the Lord and say, Father, Jesus, come into my heart, save me. It's God declares, it's a judicial decision. God in heaven declares you not guilty just as if you had never sinned. And he imputes into your account, if you will, the perfect, sinless, spotless record of Jesus Christ. That is a wonderful thing. If we were in a Pentecostal church, the tambourines would go off on that comment. You understand? Now, I'm sorry. Thank you. So just like justification there, that judicial decision. Now listen, justification is not a feeling. When you came to Christ and you said, Jesus, come into my heart, you didn't go, oh, thank God I'm justified. You did not know what justification probably was at all. Now listen, so justification is a fact, not a feeling, but so is this peace with God. It is a judicial decision as well. See, we have peace. It's not a feeling now. It can be, but it's not. It is a fact. Are you understanding? God, we have peace with God. Why? Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it came at great cost. Now listen, God only makes peace one way with man. And only one way, through Jesus Christ. Amen? There is absolutely no other way. Now listen, if you'll just forgive me here. Oh, I'm going to read it anyway. Let's just read it. This is now the ordination service beginning in verse 29. Now watch this. This is when the ordination service actually begins. That's over Leviticus 8. It says, and the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him. In other words, when he dies, they're to be given to in other words, from father to son, okay? So to be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. Now, it's interesting to me. Did you note something there? That new garments, new priestly garments, were never, ever to be made again. That's never again. These were the garments. That was the one. I don't know how that happened, but that's just the way it is. And the son who becomes priest, in other words, the high priest, in his place, in other words, whoever succeeds him, shall put them on for 7 days, and when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place, and you shall take the ram of consecration. Remember, that's to fill their hands again. And it says, and to boil its flesh in a holy place, and then Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread. And there's the basket. We finally got back to the basket. The bread that's in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall eat those things which the atonement was made to consecrate, to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat them. In other words, only for the priest, only for the high priest, only for the sons, because they're holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings, the bread remains, in other words, there's any leftovers, until morning. You'll burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten. And the reason? It is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all I've commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them. You know, can you imagine spending 7 days ordaining someone? Think about that. Have you ever been to an ordination service? I mean, I've never been to one that lasted for 7 days. I've been to some I thought lasted for 7 days. I said, get on with the show. Get this guy ordained, man. I want to go have lunch or something, you know. But now I look at it and say, whoa, 7 days. And now I lost my place. Where am I? 36, thank you. And you shall offer a bull every day. Think about that. As what? As a sin offering for atonement, for their atonement. And it says, and you shall cleanse the altar when you make an atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. In other words, the altar was to be a place that was kept clean. Remember, after you do a burnt offering, remember the utensils for the altar? How you have to get all the ashes out from the burnt sacrifices and so forth? It said, you keep that place clean. In 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar, sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy, and whoever touches the altar must be holy. Now look at this right here. Look at their duties in verse 38. The continual burnt offering, the duties of the priest. Now, this doesn't take place until the tabernacle is built. Remember, Moses is on the mount with the Lord. Now, in verse 38, now this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 lambs of the first year. Now, watch this. Day by day, continually. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And with the 1 lamb, in other words, the morning lamb, now watch this, shall be 1/10 of an ephah. That's about 2 quarts, okay? And an ephah of flour, but it has to be mixed with 1/4 of a hin. Now, if you're going to cook this stuff when you get home, make sure you get all this. 1/4 of a hin, that's 1 quart of pressed oil, okay? And 1/4 of a hin, or about 1 quart of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb, that was just for the first lamb, the one in the morning. Here's the one in the evening. And the other lamb you shall offer in the evening, and you shall offer it with the grain offering. Now that would be 2 quarts of flour mixed with that pressed oil. And the drink offering, that'd be 1 quart of wine, same thing, in the morning. Why? For a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, and this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. Remember, the purpose of the tabernacle was so God could dwell among his people. We're the tabernacle of God today, amen? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We're his body here on this planet. Now listen, I know that you read that and go, Bill, that's just kind of, you know, so much there. But, you know, think about that. I mean, the altar, the bronze altar, loved one, is a picture of the cross where Jesus died. And here in the Old Covenant, we look at that, and this altar is a place of constant death. It's, I mean, over and over and over throughout all of their generation, a death and sacrifice and, you know, substitution for sin. Think about it. A lamb every morning with all the ingredients, and a lamb every evening. For 1,500 years they did that. Until AD 70, when Titus destroyed Rome. Think about 1,500 years, every day, every morning, and every evening, a continual reminder of sin, a continual reminder that someone has to die in my place. The blood, innocent blood, has to be shed. And the work of the priest was never done. It was never ending, and it was never, ever, ever sufficient. Day after day, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, I believe, day after day, offering the daily sacrifices over and over. And these sacrifices could never, ever, ever take away sin. The blood and bull and goats can never remove a man's sin. Amen? So listen to me. Under the old covenant now, the Old Testament people, listen to me, when they went in to spread the blood out there on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, it was only to atone for sins. 1 more year. Now, in other words, okay, thank God the high priest went in there, he poured out the blood, God accepted the sacrifice, I could hear the bells on his robe, and he's out the little pomegranate, remember we studied about it, and I can hear him, oh good, God has accepted that sacrifice, my sins are atoned for. They're not forgiven, in a sense, they're only covered. Are you following me? Did you know that the Old Testament, the blood of the Old Testament lambs of bullion could never purge their conscience from sin. Never. They knew that immediately after the Day of Atonement, here comes the year again, and all this is going to add up. Every day, if I'd done something wrong, here goes, I've got to bring a lamb. I've got to bring an offering to the priest. They're going to kill it. I have to put my hands upon it. Are you following me? Every day, every day, every day. And I tell you something. Thank God for the New Testament blood of Jesus Christ that has taken away our sin forever and ever and ever and ever. It says in Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. No Old Testament Jew could ever, ever leave the tabernacle and say, my sins have been put away forever. But we can. We can say that tonight. We can say that our minds have been purged by the blood of Jesus. That evil conscience, it's been washed, it's been cleansed. Jesus died on the altar for us. The altar meaning the cross. He's our everlasting burnt offering. Continually that burnt offering, year after year. Jesus is our burnt offering. He gave Himself totally for our sins. Amen? Listen to me. Jesus is also our peace offering. Everything that we study tonight, Jesus is. Jesus is even the grain offering. Remember the grain, the flour mixed in, and the wine. He's our drink offering. He is everything, and He's something else. He is a sweet-smelling, beautiful, wonderful, fragrant aroma to God when He died on the cross for our sins. That's what it says in Ephesians 5:2, when it says that God so loved us so much, He gave of Himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. That's Jesus. Oh, church, listen. We're anointed. We're priests unto God. We're sealed in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit. We can be moved by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can speak to us, lead us, help us, comfort us, strengthen us in time of need. We have everything we need. Everything we need. All we have to do is be obedient and walk in what God has given us. Now look at this in verse 42 quickly. It says, and this shall be a continual burnt offering. Continual throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And there are where I will meet you to speak with you. So when we get over to Leviticus, we're going to find out that that burnt offering, which is one of the most oldest of all the offerings in the Bible, we're going to find out that God is going to command the altar where the burnt offering is to be placed, that a fire should be on it perpetual for all generations. It will never, ever be put out. And it says here, I'm going to meet with you there, and I'll meet with the children of Israel there, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And so I'll consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priest. And look what God says. Oh, I'll dwell among the children of Israel. I'll be their God. And they'll know that I am the Lord their God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt. In other words, how did they come up? They were out of the land of Egypt. They were redeemed how? By the blood of the Lamb. On the door, the lintels of the door, remember. And He says, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. There in the midst of these daily burnt offerings on the altar, you know what God says? He says, I'm going to meet you right there. I'm going to meet you where the blood is. I'm going to meet you where an innocent life died. I'm going to meet you right there at the place of sacrifice where innocent blood was shed, where a death occurred. Listen, that's why right now we have a great high priest, the only great high priest who has gone into heaven for us and is seated at the right hand of God Himself, having purged our sins. Amen? Listen to me. The blood. Where do we meet God at? Let me tell you where we meet Him at. Listen to me. We meet the Lord where? It says in Hebrews 9, what did Jesus do when He ascended? It says that He ascended with His what? His own blood. He walked in. Listen, there, the tabernacle, there is one in heaven because the true tabernacle is there. Amen? I don't understand it all, but I know that the copy, that's what they were making here. And Jesus comes into heaven. It says that He who ascended also led captive those led captives. He who descended also, whatever He did, praise the Lord. Give me the scripture. It's in Ephesians. What is it? Well, He did it, okay? He who descended is also he who ascended and led captivity captive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Thank you, Lord. Now, who did he take with him? Who was captive? The bosom of Abraham, the Old Testament saints. Here comes Jesus. Here comes the Old Testament saints. He's entered into heaven with what? His own blood. They're following. They go, here we, I mean, they're walking in with him. And all of a sudden he goes into the Holy of Holies. And he, you know what? He passes whatever that must be, that brazen altar in heaven. And then there's that bronze laver there in heaven. I don't understand it. And he comes in, he sees the screen there. There's the holy place. And he passed, there's the lampstand. There's all those, the lampstand, the showbread, the altar of incense. And there's the cherubim, the real cherubim right there. And there's the mercy seat of God. There's the Ark of the Covenant. And there's the Shekinah glory of God. And he comes in with his own blood. He's been gone for 33 years. Are you following me? And he walks in with his own blood and he pours it out on the mercy seat. What's underneath that mercy seat? The laws that we broke. Remember the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, the pot of manna, the golden pot, the provision that we despised, man despised, that did not want. And Jesus poured out his blood. Now listen, God says, that's where I'll meet you at. I'll meet you right here where my son poured out his blood. That was spilled for you and all the sins and all the commandments that we broke, it's forgiven. All the things, the authority that we didn't want, Aaron's rod that budded and meaning of the resurrection, also the authority we despised. God says, it's all forgiven. Now, you meet me where the blood was poured out, where the blood was shed. Are you following me tonight? The Old Testament is rich. The Word of God is rich. Don't let anyone tell you that God's Word is boring or that chapter doesn't mean anything. Every word of God, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Listen, we walk in now and say, oh Lord, here we are. I see the blood. And when I come, what does God see? He sees us in the blood. He sees us cleaned and priest and justified and sanctified and holy. Oh, church, listen. The Bible is rich. The Word of God is rich. Wash yourself in it every day. Understand what God has done for you so you can walk on this earth in the power and the strength of His might. So you can put on the full armor of God. So you can pick up the shield of faith every morning and defeat all the darts of the evil one. Amen? Listen. Let's go to the throne right now and pray, shall we? Father, we just come to you tonight. Oh, all that Jesus has done for us. Oh, Lord, you're so rich. Your word is so good. It's so powerful. We approach you now by the blood that Jesus, his own blood that he poured out on that mercy seat at the throne of grace. We come boldly because of that blood. We have free access because of the blood of our Savior. And Lord, tonight, there's people in this audience, they all have needs. And you said we could come by the blood. We could come there, Lord, at the place. And you said you would meet us where the blood was poured out. You would meet us. Oh God, meet us tonight. Here we are. Here we are in your midst. And there are people that are sick. There are people that are lonely. There are people that are hurting. There are people that do not have jobs. There are people that are addicted to things, Lord. There are people that are just not following you. Oh, Lord, you are our provider. Here we are standing in the blood of Jesus. Standing in the place where you said you would meet us. Here we are. Oh, Lord, touch your people. Touch your people in every area of their life. Touch your people. Touch them. Bless them. Help them. We love you. We praise you. And we honor you tonight. In Jesus' name. And the church says,